DW.
Oswaldo Enriquez wears jeans and a gray short-sleeved t-shirt as he packs boxes of clothes to be shipped to Harvard, Princeton, Columbia, and dozens of other U.S. universities. The 31-year-old is like many other employees at League Central America, a textile factory in El Salvador about 45 minutes outside the capital. He's working to support his family, a wife and 6-year-old son. But when Enriquez rolls up his sleeves, some people see him differently. He has tattoos on his upper arms, chest, and back, revealing his past as a gang member.
For me, I thought there was no more future for me in this country because I had tattooed my body.
In El Salvador, tattoos make Enriquez nearly unemployable. Few companies will hire former gang members. Many Salvadorans just don't believe people like Enriquez can change. Others think they should be behind bars for their crimes. League Central America, where Enriquez has worked for 4 years, saw past his tattoos. CEO Rodrigo Bolaños has hired more than 100 reformed gang members since 2009, when he returned to his native El Salvador after working in Guatemala for 7 years. While there, he saw how violence affected his employees. He returned determined to do his part to reduce violence in his own country. His approach can be called corporate social responsibility or responsible capitalism.
It sends a message that we have to embrace the community if we want to have a healthy country.
Not everyone in El Salvador agrees with Bolaños' approach. That's understandable. In 2017, nearly 4,000 people were murdered in El Salvador, a country the size of Slovenia with a population of 6.5 million. Gangs are responsible for 60% of homicides. The country's two main gangs, 18th Street and MS-13, have roots on the streets of Los Angeles. Salvadoran immigrants fled the country's civil war that started in 1980. They arrived during LA's bloody gang turf wars. For protection, young Salvadoran immigrants joined either 18th Street, a mainly Mexican gang, or the newly formed Mara Salvatrucha, or MS-13. When the war ended in 1992, the U.S. government decided it was time to deport any Salvadoran with a criminal record. El Salvador was unprepared to reintegrate returning gang members. So the gangs flourished. Poverty, inequality, and a weak rule of law have persisted in El Salvador in the post-war era, creating the perfect conditions for gangs to thrive. When Enriquez was a teenager, most of his childhood friends started joining 18th Street Gang. By 14, he was an official member with the tattoos to prove it. His decision devastated his mother, Ana Jeanette Garcia.
I don't know what I did wrong. Why did he do it if I've given everything for him? I was always a good mum to him. I don't know what happened. Maybe it was from hanging out with the wrong crowd.
Garcia feared her son's seemingly inevitable fate. Mothers know that their sons who join gangs usually end up dead or in jail within 5 years. Enriquez was soon in trouble with the law. He was arrested twice, once in 2006 and again in 2009, both times for small offenses with quick releases. The second time, a police officer gave Enriquez a piece of advice that stuck with him.
I remember that day that a police officer, a sergeant, told me, change, he said, go to church, he told me. You're so angry, you're so harsh, change, look for a way.
Being in the gang is for life, they say. But after that encounter, Enriquez decided he wanted to leave gang life behind. He knew he couldn't fully reject his gang, but he could go calmado, or calm. Going calmado means the gang approves the decision to stop being active. When Enriquez approached the gang leaders, they didn't all agree.
One said to me, why are you going to leave the gang if out there no one is going to lend you a hand? No one is going to help you. No one is going to help you like the gang does. They were true words in a way because no one wants to help a gang member outside of the gang.
But some do help, particularly evangelical pastors, such as Carlos Nieto at the church in Apopa, El Salvador, where Enriquez lives.
God, in his words, says that he's not interested in our past. What he's interested in is what you want to do today, in the present.
On a muggy Sunday, around 4 p.m., churchgoers pack into the aisles. Weak ceiling fans offer the only relief from the 30-degree heat. Enriquez is among the 40 or so attendees. He's dressed in black slacks and a long-sleeved blue button-down. He stands up with the congregation to sing with the band. For some songs, he reads the words projected on the wall. For others, he knows the words by heart. Pastor Nieto walks to the podium to address the congregation. He cracks some jokes before launching into the core of his sermon. Today he preaches about leaning on God in times of need. What are your afflictions, he says? What worries you? Enriquez closes his eyes, squeezing them tightly shut as he grips the bench in front of him. Later, I ask him what he thinks about in these moments.
I think a lot about who I was and how that's not who I am now, thanks to Jesus Christ.
Enriquez doesn't hide his past, but he also doesn't shout it from the rooftops. Most people working in gang intervention in El Salvador prefer not to know details of crimes committed. So this is all Enriquez would tell me.
The truth is that now I feel guilty because I did something without having a reason. Now, sometimes at night, I think about the pain that I've caused that person. And if I see him one day, I would apologize for the hurt that I did to him.
His past stirs up emotions. Pain, guilt, shame. Dealing with these feelings is why he hasn't skipped church in 8 years. And the difficulty of confronting the past, both for Enriquez and for Salvadoran society, is why reintegration of gang members is so complicated. Enriquez has committed crimes that have hurt people. What price should he pay for what he's done and for how long? Do past crimes mean that he can never change?
For society, they can't change because they haven't seen the transformative power of God. He's the evidence that someone can do it, that someone can change.
Above all, the mothers who haven't yet found God, they think that their sons will never leave the gang. But I would tell them that they just need to put their hands and thoughts in God and that they're going to leave. With God's help, they can leave.
My learning is that 95% of the gang wants a way out. They don't want to be gang members, but they don't have any choice. Once they put a little tattoo, that's it. They're marked for life and nobody will hurt them. And this ticket to become successful is their dream.
Enriquez wakes up before 5 a.m. every weekday for his long commute to the factory. On weekends, he studies to get an associate's degree through a partnership with the private university arranged by his job. He spends free time with family or at church. His life now is nothing like his life years ago as an active gang member.
I say that a gang member can really change because I've seen it in me and I've seen it in other people too. It's just about a lack of opportunity. If they give these opportunities, I know a gang member can change and the country can be different.
For DW, this is Anna Catherine Brigida in Ciudad Arce and Apopa, El Salvador.
DW